Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It is September 10th, Wednesday. I just realized I need to put some orange on before the next show. But until then, we're going to talk about education today. How are you doing, Nico?
Doing good, Chris. With the Academy busting out some new education tools for people around Breeze, around Loop Marketing, was very, very, very happy to see that whole flood come into the mix. And we got OpenAI releasing their Academy and a bunch of coursework that you can, videos that you can take now, coursework coming soon, accreditations that you're going to be able to get, or certifications, which, up until now, I've taken a couple certifications, nothing really major, general, hey, I know what I'm doing about using generative AI. And to be honest with you, I don't really see a need yet, but I do see how this will actually be something like useful on your resume, like just some very easy way of saying like, okay, I have the basics, right? Like this is going to be the, yes, I know how to use Microsoft Office, right? Like that's really what this becomes, guys, at the end of the day. Like when I thought about it yesterday and I'm like, yeah, but why would you need an accreditation and why would they bother doing certificates? And oh man, it's just like, not for nothing. Oh, it's just another HubSpot. Like learn this platform and then we're going to have to prove that we know the platform.
I mean, that's the part, right? Those are the magic words. Prove that you know the platform.
Yeah.
Right. And it's all connected, folks. Like what we talked about yesterday, that conversation I was having on Monday night, eventually got to, the person asking me, like, if I had kids, like, what would I be doing with them right now?
Yeah.
And you shared a clip this morning. And I think, like, from earlier in the year, it was the first time, maybe even last year, where there are already schools like executing 2 hours of instruction per day with the help of AI and like young, like single digit, age groups. And it's very effective. How could that possibly be? Well, what we're talking about now is this whole like teaching to the test. There's really no better way to like kind of put it all in a nutshell about how our education system has been designed for that, not for knowledge gain and practical like value and like putting that knowledge to work. Can you pass a test at these moments of your life to walk through the next gate of industrial like life to go and find a 40-hour, a week job to then work for 30 years and then retire? Right? That was the most enlightening part of AI-driven leadership, a book that I listened to about how that infrastructure has been constructed, not like in a way that moves us away from critical thinking. Because if we think critically, we don't really like the idea of working in these jobs that we don't like. But we have been taught to kind of qualify it by saying, oh, all right, at this some point in the future, everything's going to be awesome. And I'm actually going to be able to live life. I'm not going to live life right now. I'm going to work to live it later. Like, think about that.
That's what's funny. Like I was talking to my wife yesterday about the fact that we're almost to the government retirement age, right? Like the government defined retirement age. And the reality, which we all know, is that you couldn't retire at the age of Social Security if you wanted to, right? Like, that's, you couldn't retire. Most people can't retire and live off Social Security if they wanted to, right? So what you end up with is, yeah, a life where not only are you working towards retirement, but you're even working after you're supposedly retired, right? And all thanks to what, really, right? Like, just not being able to individually earn your own income independently, right? There's this, like, really it's such a, like, cheap sort of video, I guess, if you like. I say cheap because it's, like, you know, 30 seconds long or whatever, of this, like, Russian dude, and he's just like, yeah, he's giving out this advice and basically says that don't spend your life working for a paycheck, because a paycheck doesn't make more money, right? It's just a paycheck. Spend your life trying to build a business. A business always makes more money, right? That's very much the case for most people, right? Is that it would be far more beneficial for them to own and run their own business, or at least make their own money and decide how they're going to earn a living, as opposed to having to work for somebody else. The barrier to entry, in my opinion, especially now, right? Like, it used to be manual labor. And I got to tell you, had it kept on, those of you who wish for it, had it kept on with manual labor, you would never be able to break out on your own. Like, well, I say you would never. It will take like another 5 to 10 years, maybe 5 years, before you have robots that are, like, capable enough and human enough to be able to, like, help you side by side. And that the cost would be efficient enough that you would be able to afford it. So, like, let's say blacksmiths, welders, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, they're going to see their own day of independence as well. It's just going to take like 5, 6, 7 years. For now, it's white collar jobs. If you can put your hands on a keyboard, right? I wish I was joking. If you can put your hands on a keyboard, it's possible for you to own your own business. Now, at very low cost and extremely low barrier to entry, right? That's the sort of level of abundance that we're talking about. Every day that I pull up YouTube, I see another company that has a $10 billion valuation, another AI-based company. And it's not, you know, it's not .com. It's the first thing I do is go look at what the company is. If I don't already know the name, and most of them I already know the names of, right? In this case, it was Cursor, right? And it's like, yeah, of course.
Right, yeah.
$10 billion valuation, like, no big deal.
This is right. And, like, before we started, you talked about how, like, formulaic it can be, yeah, to solve. Like, we know how the human brain works, like, more so than most other things, like, in the way that we learn, right?
Yeah.
And it's how we've been able to develop thinking machines that also learn. Right, that will someday hopefully teach us, you know, better ways. But they're already teaching us better ways in terms of, like, when you can accomplish 2 hours what you're accomplishing in 8 hours, mm-hmm, and you start to deconstruct, like, why the school day is built the way it is. Like, one of the main reasons is so that childcare just happens, right?
Right.
For people that are supposed to be working 40 hours a week at a factory. Right now they have somewhere to put their kids, and that, mm-hmm, somewhere happens to be creating progress with the kids, right?
Not only that, but, like, the education, right? So, like, one of the things was how you get there in terms of the level of creativity, and, like, how you get there in terms of figuring things out. But the other thing to me, and what I'm finding more of with parents that I talk to, you know, like, people that are asking, what do I do with my kid? What do I tell my kid? What should my kid do in college? All that kind of stuff. Throw all the traditional shit out the window.
All of it.
I know a lot of parents right now who are looking for desperately, and finding them, who are looking for Socratic schools. And they are, their kids are veritable, like, I'm not saying veritable geniuses, but like by comparison to their, to other kids at their age group, veritable geniuses. And they only spend about 2 to 3 hours a day on school. And they still do some STEM stuff. Like they still have like STEM classes they take, but it's like throughout the week. It's not like math every day, science every day, history every day, right? Like it's not trying to beat your brain up to the, to a pulp where it cannot retain these things on top of practical application. So they're under, they're learning things about the world, which is the most important education that you could possibly get, as opposed to education on things you will never use, right? As an artist, never did I use math, ever. No complex algebra, nothing. Nothing beyond like simple addition, subtraction, maybe some division in there, right? Certainly not long division. The computer was doing it all for me. And if the computer wasn't doing it for me, my ruler was doing it for me, right? That's as far as it needed to go. So nowadays, you know, and when you think about jobs, especially again, if you put your hands on a keyboard, then your job relies on knowledge. And if you are a knowledge worker, well, you're the thing that you thought was your moat, right? Because now that's what people are looking for. People are looking for personal moats. What keeps me from getting replaced at my job? Saw another report this morning about job hugging, which at this point, the media is just coming up with bullshit terms for everything, right? There's no such thing as job hugging. Yeah, it's just, you know, people are, it's the term they're using for people not wanting to leave their job or like, you know, afraid of leaving their job because they make it. Yeah, exactly. Like you just say the thing. You don't have to make up a stupid term for it. Yeah, like they were like, well, you know, there was the, you know, whatever, job, revolution or something like that. Quiet quitting. And then there was, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. Keep coming the up great resignation.
Yes. Yes. You know, that's, you know, going forward. And it's, so I'm watching this culmination of stuff, right? I'm watching this like sort of stagnant economy, but not. It's weird because even though the financial sector is talking about stagflation, GDP still keep going. It's still going. And then I just looked at default delinquency rates and they're lower than they were like last quarter and quarter before. So we're still making more money somehow. Certain sectors are losing money, but others are like sort of, you know, making up for it. This type of knowledge work, right, is only going to get better. It's only going to make more money. It's only going to create more individual wealth, right?
Completely counter to the system that has been in place and is still in place. That's why none of this part of the math, like this is not math. This is subjective, like force of what we want to achieve or what the people in power, like the managers of the world, have figured out how to manage people, like at scale, like with systems that make it easy and scalable, right? And bringing it back to like the knowledge equation, like if all knowledge certifications, accreditations, like if all of your resume is like knowledge skills, like I can show up with this thing and just be like, my whole resume like matches you. I could just put, I have a Pixel 10. Like if that qualifies, if these set of knowledge skills and knowledge understanding like qualifies me for the job, I can just tell you I have a Pixel 10 and then like we're good to go. Right. And this has been like the reason that HubSpot certs are not as respected as Salesforce admin, like certs and accreditations. You have to pay like to get the admin cert. You have to show up in person and do practical work in front of other people.
Yeah.
Right. Which my argument, and we talk about this a ton at Profoundly, like we have vetted experts. Like, how are you vetting? Right. We started with a bunch of experts that I did content with, because there's no better way to vet HubSpot knowledge than to do live content on LinkedIn. Like, you have to have knowledge and be confident in that knowledge to be able to talk out loud in an unscripted way. And if you don't have the knowledge, it becomes very clear very quickly in that conversation, which doesn't happen very often, thankfully. But that is a practical vetting mechanism to say, like, how you think and talk. And then if we pull up a HubSpot instance and you're super comfortable, like, clicking around and running into things and getting around them quickly, like, it's all this practical testing is very much not, right, teaching to the test, right? No. It's live, it's dynamic. And without this previous infrastructure in place, like, if you just took off the test, we would innovate towards this, towards how to scale this. And this is like that, this 2-hour window is so effective because that's where the attention span is. That's where the interest level is for the day.
Yep.
And I've gotten so many people involved in creating content, and this is the gap in all the enablement content that, and solving this, how we solve this gap. It's not just getting people who know shit to show up and, like, talk about stuff.
Right.
It was when I first asked other people, I said, give me a topic that you're, just fill in the blank. Let's build blank with Nico Avakis and fill in the blank with something you're passionate about. And hopefully it has to do with HubSpot, but it doesn't have to. Right. So that interest level of like, do I want to learn this thing?
Right.
If the answer is yes, I'm going to learn it faster, much more fun way. Right. And as we, like, especially in B2B, as we think about content calendars, and it's like, oh, we have to talk about this and then this and then this. If there's nobody available in this world that I'm talking about, if there's nobody available or interested in talking about that thing, you're not creating content. Like, because the content will fail on arrival because it's not interesting, it's not authentic, it's not credible, right? Yet we force these things because we think we know what the audience wants.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just completely backward, right? So this, as you bring up these accreditations and how we approach them, like, my wish is for everybody, like, figure out how to scale these 15-minute conversations that can tell you very quickly whether the person knows a damn thing or not, right? There's not anything you can put on a HubSpot piece of paper to convince me that you know anything about HubSpot at this point. I mean, how many certs can you just look up the answers, like, online? Even the asynchronous practical activities AI can build for you now. Like, Assistant is right there.
Right.
In the portal.
Not to mention the fact that you can use Assistant now to answer those questions, right? Like, Breeze can answer questions for you that are based on the test, right? Like, there are way too many tools to help you do this kind of stuff. And yeah, it just, if you want to make it, or I should say, there's no point in making it about, like, to Chris's point, there's about, like, your knowledge of the tool set. That's something that should be, like, the tool set should be so intuitive that anyone could use it, right? There should, this whole thing of, like, again, knowledge barrier to entry is, like, just consider it BS anymore. Like, it really, it just should just go out the window. And the only thing that should be necessary is, hey, here's this tool. How creative can you be with it? Literally every single time that OpenAI and Anthropic and DeepMind release something, the last statement they say is, we can't wait to see what you're going to do with it. every single time because they know that that is the end result. I don't know of any other company, right? When we just had that horseshit Apple launch. If you think, you know, you guys keep slinging mud about the OpenAI launch, man, everybody else's are just getting equally worse. Like if not like monumentally, like I've never seen a product release with such little enthusiasm from its users in my life.
Is this the thin phone?
I mean, like it's the, oh, we have a stronger piece of glass and now it's completely catering to content creators. So it's all about, has the most amazing selfie camera you've ever seen. Meanwhile, the opposite facing lens is still 48 megapixels. And for those of you that are like, well, big deal, 48, it sounds pretty high. Samsung's has 200. So like while we're taking the highest, I mean, the video that I shot for Inbound was 8K at 60 frames per second. You can't do that with an iPhone. I don't care how much you wish you could. It won't do it. Okay. Apple Intelligence doesn't mean shit to me.
Are people asking for thin phones?
Like yeah. That's like their whole thing.
I want to make sure this is the most powerful device in my life.
Right.
Like
it's a laptop in your hand, right? So it should be a powerful laptop. It shouldn't be some cosmetic thing, right? And Apple just keeps shooting for cosmetic and oh well, like that's the only road they've got left, I think.
I think we have an opportunity here though, because you have a boot camp coming up, right? For HubSpot and AI stuff. How are you guys thinking about all this?
So our boot camp, the initial one, is very much in this vein, right? It is, let's show you these tools. Let's show you what these tools are capable of. And let's show you let's show you what they are, where you can find them, you know, what they're capable of. And then like a little bit on like practical application in theory. But for the most part, I'm assuming that's going to end up being like after QA stuff. What I am planning on doing and have talked to the Academy about doing to this extent is doing 102 courses and considering like all of these to be like 101 boot camps. And having 102 boot camps where like we really get into the nitty gritty of like, okay, here's the detail that you can get to with these tools, right? So the first one is like sparking creativity. And then the second one would be like, okay, if you're still like struggling for avenues in which to deploy, and if you're still struggling with like making what you've got more effective, right? Then you would take that 102 course. But yeah, that's something that I'm looking at. I'm putting together, putting together a deep research course because, just over, Inbound, talking to people about deep research use cases, I watch people's eyes just practically explode out of their heads, as soon as I start getting even like 2-3 minutes into it. And, I think one of the funniest moments was asked that, Chili Piper After Party was asked to do a 1-minute segment on what my favorite like AI tool was, like HubSpot related AI tool. And so I talked about the deep research connector because it very honestly is. It's all about my whole ACP mantra that I need to put framework I need to put together. And as soon as I got about, 30-45 seconds into it, I just see the guy, who's like, yeah, just look at me. Don't bother looking at the camera. And I'm looking at this dude and about halfway in, he's just like, and it's just like, yeah, like that's, so it's like, I just kept going and it's like a minute turned into like 5 minutes. And by the time I was done, dude was just like, wow. He's like, I just learned more in that little segment than I have in like the last 6 months of like looking at GPT stuff. And it's like, yeah, that's because, a lot of people don't talk about these little things that are super powerful, right? And again, like knowledge gating, right? So it's, to me, it's just all about like trying to level the playing field, get everybody on the same page, so that everybody can have the same shot at being equally as creative and equally as powerful with this technology as anybody else. And the more people start, you know, it does. It comes all the way back to the critical thinking education aspect of things, because the sooner and the better you are at critical thinking, the sooner and better you become at not necessarily using these tools, but like just going to like the exponents with them, yeah. Right? You take away all the blockers. You start knocking down these walls of like, well, I can't. Like, you know, that's the one thing I try to like pound into people's heads is like, always take it one step further with AI, right? Wherever you think you've landed with anything, every time I work with it, it's like, okay, I got to this thing. All right, cool. But the next thing I'm going to do is this. So can you do this? Right. And it's like, well, yeah, I can. And it's like, cool. So after that, I'm going to do this. Could you actually do that? Or like, what's the best way we should go about doing that? And even if I get to a wall of, you know, I don't know what the next direction is, it does, because it knows all the things, or at least it can go pull the information to tell me all of the things.
Yeah.
This
is what collaborative AI intelligence looks like. That story you just shared.
Teamwork.
Like, that's why I love the boot camps. Like, the value of the boot camps is just being in a cohort with other people learning.
Yep.
It's far and away. Like, for me, it's infinitely more valuable than me taking a course by myself.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because just understanding how other people are consuming the material, what they're doing with it. And this is where, so my experience is the RevOps Bootcamp and Super Admin Bootcamp. And this is the difference with AI, folks. Like, in those moments, there's a great Slack thread. People are sharing, like, a part of the homework is just share your work, like, mm-hmm. share your maps, share how you think about this thing. And it's like, okay, that's cool. Like, so you get some insight, and then you're like, man, I wish I could go do that right now. Like, but I can't, because it's going to take me like an hour, or I got to focus on this other thing. Now it's like seconds away from trying the exact same thing. And those are the moments where you do a little bit, and then I do a little bit, and then you do a little bit. And that whole convergence is happening, like, mm-hmm. throughout the digital space. Like, there is no part of the digital space that is not touched by this, right? And it's like, finally, the foundation is in place to where that collective intelligence can start to be gathered in a way that it doesn't have to be constantly replaced, which is what we're doing when we think about students being added to the workforce. Like, it's because knowledge is leaving the workforce when people retire, right? That's gone. Right. Mm-hmm. And this is why this is why the show is named the way it is. Right. We've got to find a way to enable this at all costs. Right. We're already at 30 minutes. We're going to keep at it. I'm excited for that course. I know you guys are going to crush it.
Yeah.
And we'll keep getting after it, folks. Until next time, Nico. Have a good one.
See you guys.